We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
And the National League is still alive.
Ground ball should end it. To the right side, Merrifield has got it. And the American League has won their eighth straight as they win it here tonight. 5-2. And in a game that lasted exactly 3 hours, American League continues its dominance.
The American League wins the All-Star game again. For those of you that care about that kind of stuff, 12:05, Gresh and Keith, into the lunchtime hour. Your 25 minutes of uninterrupted sports talk begins now. Red Sox players did pretty well in the All-Star game. We will get to all of that. Apparently, Shohei Ohtani wants himself some more home run derby. And I think we have to expand the Rob Manfred discussion a little bit. Mm-hmm. In 5 minutes, we get a chance for you to win $1,000 coming up in our national cash contest. But a story that has been developing over the last hour or so is the arrest of free agent corner Richard Sherman. And part of the reason we're going to talk about this quick is because we really don't have a ton of intel on this right now. According to Adam Schefter, he put out a tweet about an hour ago that said free agent cornerback Richard Sherman was booked at 6:08 this morning at the Seattle Correctional Facility for burglary, domestic violence, per the King County Public Records. Sherman was also denied bail. Now, another tweet from one of the folks who works out in that Seattle area said they actually did the screen grab of what it looks like when it pops up in the system, and you can right. see all this stuff. And it says King County Public Records show Sherman has been booked on burglary, domestic violence, and there's an INV there. The INV investigation means it's being investigated as a felony. Some have taken to Twitter to, you know, boom, roast him right away. And, you know, there are times where Richard Sherman does, you know, he'll kind of talk down to you, preach to you a little bit. But this is wildly out of character for yeah. this guy, at least the way most of us perceive this guy.
Right. Like, there's always part of me that's like, we don't really know any of these guys. Like, you don't know anybody.
True.
Right? Like, and some of them are more public figures than others. Some of you've heard talk more than others. And so I guess as far as anybody could be surprising, I guess in that case, this would be surprising with Richard Sherman. But like you said, we'll see what happens. So I'm sure there'll be more information throughout the day, throughout the week on this.
The NFLPA has a statement out,
oh, they
by
do?
The way. Oh, yeah. It's very hollow.
Interesting. He's a free agent, but
it said, we were made aware of an arrest last night of one of our player leaders for an alleged domestic violence incident. We have activated our domestic violence crisis protocol for the protection and support of everyone involved. We will continue to monitor events closely as more facts are made available to us. I don't know what the domestic violence crisis protocol would be, other than they're not going to say anything other than what they just said, which was really nothing.
So, and the term, again, I'm not all that familiar with it, but just to in context, Mike Florio wrote about it. He says, typically the notion of burglary domestic violence refers to someone entering or refusing to leave a house or dwelling within the context of a domestic dispute. So, for example, he says, someone who gets locked out of a house during an argument with a spouse or a significant other and then breaks in potentially has committed, quote, burglary domestic violence. And the other thing that jumps out to me is denied bail.
That's the other one, too. Denied bail makes you think, oh.
Yeah, because usually, like, anybody who's really rich, you feel like doesn't spend a whole lot of time in jail. That's just how I view it.
Of course.
Like you usually are, or at least, all right, well, you know, we'll revisit this, but. So I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll get more today, but yeah, it's the latest on Richard.
Well, Sherman. And I know that for someone like Sherman, who was very outspoken when many were outspoken last year, that's going to get thrown right back in his face by some people. And you're right. Let's see the facts come out. Maybe there is two sides to this story. Maybe there isn't. And all Richard right. Sherman was just wrong. And mm-hmm. Lord knows he is plenty good enough on the microphone to be able to communicate, to describe what was happening or what maybe was going on in his mind during all of this. So maybe we will hear from them, but cross another free agent off the board, because if he's got this hanging over his head, unless the charges get dropped,
right,
he ain't going to get signed by anybody with this hanging over him.
33 years old.
He was probably on the 18th hole, the back nine anyway,
and
looking for somebody to invite him to play another round of nine, so to speak.
Right, right.
But yeah, it doesn't look good for Richard Sherman right now, and that is really the news. That's really the biggest news going on right now, other than the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which we will get back into. Don't forget, Dork Podcast up right now at WEEI.com. You can follow Dork Podcast on Twitter at Dork Podcast, and you can find it on YouTube. All you got to do, go into the YouTube, type in Dork Podcast.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
This hour's code word is focus. Text focus, F-O-C-U-S, to 72881. I want you to focus on texting to 72881, because that's how you're going to have your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Please do not text and drive. One more opportunity with us at 110 here with Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, and of course on the Odyssey app. We did touch on the All-Star Game. Yesterday we were all over Home Run Derby. And great news coming out of the All-Star Game yesterday was that Shohei Ohtani said, I want me some more Home Run Derby. Great
good
news.
Yeah, you want that. And I feel like Pete Alonso, who's won now back-to-back derbies, and he was a little non-committal at the end of it, but you hope that this generation of young stars can sort of see this as not only a showcase for themselves, but to get these young fans to buy into these guys. Because, again, how many times did Ken Griffey Jr. compete in the Home Run Derby?
And we loved it.
Yes, and it
we
was stars. Ate it, up. It was stars and stars and stars. And it is similar to the slam dunk contest. Like, for a year, Michael Jordan did the dunk contest. Dominique Wilkins did the dunk contest. And then now you fast forward, and it's, who's that guy? Oh, he's played two games for the Spurs or whatever, but he can jump out of the gym. Let's put him in there. And, like, for the most part, it's not stars. And I think the Home Run Derby kind of needs it. And even if we've aged out of the event, again, that's not the most important thing. If you're trying to get these young guys to do it. I know Vlad Guerrero did it a couple of years ago. This year, all right, you got, you know, Juan Soto in there, but I think you need to pack it with stars, and Shohei Ohtani is obviously at the top of that list.
Have to put him in there. Have to.
Now, do you fear at all how long he can do this? Because they kept making a point about how gassed he was and how I don't really take a lot of swings during the season. He doesn't take BP, and he was exhausted after the first game, after the derby, I should say, just the first round. Then he was done, even though it went to, you know, extra swings and all that stuff. Then they're talking about, you know, he doesn't pitch the same amount as everybody else because you got to kind of reel him in a little bit more. That's my, because right now it's everything's perfect, right? Like, he's leading the league in dingers. He's a legitimate all-star pitcher. But last year he had injuries. The year before that, there was sort of like the playing time stuff. I think it's great right now, but I also wonder, what's the shelf life for this?
Yeah,
how
I don't
long can
think,
he do it?
I don't think he's going to be at this level for 8 years into his mid-30s. Because if he were 22, I might think about it a little differently. But he's almost 28 now.
Yeah, right.
By the time he hits free agency, I think it'll be, you know, 29, almost 30 by the time he's up for bid. So you are going to have that discussion with him. And I'm torn, because I don't think in a couple of years we're going to be looking at Ohtani the same. Maybe he can come out of the bullpen for you. maybe you could use him a little differently in terms of a pitcher, in part because you want the guy's bat in the lineup.
Oh, yeah.
I would think DH pitcher would be perfect. But, you know, they like to put him out in the field. And
yeah. Well, he DHs most of the time.
I guess what it is, what it comes down to for me, he did it. Like, even if it's a half a year, he proved that at the highest level of baseball, it can be done. And if that means that there's another 19-year-old who is just got drafted, who says to his team, I want to pitch and hit, and it's a natural part of who that player becomes.
Yeah.
I think Ohtani has laid the groundwork to open up some minds in baseball so that even if he's at the peak right now, right? If this is the peak, he still did it for 80 games of a major league season, and we haven't seen anything like that since the early 1900s.
Yeah, exactly. And they even made the point on the broadcast that I brought up last week when they were playing the Angels, is that Babe Ruth obviously is very romanticized about the player that he was. The numbers speak for themselves.
Big hot dog guy like Sean.
Loved hot dogs in a hot tub, actually.
He was
the first guy to ever do it, Babe Ruth. But he's also somebody who we just assume like, hey, great pitcher, great hitter, and he did both forever. Wrong.
No.
Wrong. He didn't. In fact, the best hitting years, he wasn't even pitching anymore. Like when he went to the Yankees, he barely even pitched. He pitched for the Red Sox, and I think it was his last year with the Sox, he had a good pitching and hitting season. Mm-hmm. So basically, if Shohei Ohtani finishes the year on a similar pace, he's already kind of matched the two part of it that Babe Ruth did. Mm-hmm. Now, he would have to go on and have a Hall of Fame career as one or the other the rest of the way to sort of, you know, even be in the conversation. But as far as doing both, just like Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders and guys for two sports, Babe Ruth didn't do it that much. I just think it happened so long ago, and you can look at some of the pitching stats, and we know the home run record that he had for a while. That sort of stands up, but going out there every fifth day pitching, but hitting every single day, that's extremely rare. Like, even the guy everybody says did it didn't really do it to that level. And so Ohtani's already kind of on that pace to maybe even break that Babe Ruth was doing.
I do think that to play 150, well, sorry, if you're going to be a starter, right, and you're going to make 28 starts, let's say, and you're going to play another 130 games in the field or something like that, or as the DH whatever it is, it feels that it isn't sustainable as a starter. But I wonder, like, do you have to, like, could you tinker with him of being a reliever?
No.
Could he be, you
can't do it that way, I don't think, because then he's not in the lineup. Or if he is in the lineup, like, I think.
No, but what if you say he's playing right field and then eighth inning you need a pitcher, Ohtani moves.
I know, but not to bog it down, but no. don't you lose the DH or something like that?
And that's, I'm wondering about all of that. Like, does a National League team maybe value him a little differently if they could put him in a different role? I don't know. You're right. We're workshopping
here. I think it would be tough.
But the longevity of Ohtani is a real question.
That's what I was
because
thinking.
You don't, it would seem inconceivable that he would give you even 120 games as a designated hitter and then 25 starts.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem. And
so, like, this year, for example, he has only been in the outfield 5 times.
Okay.
So he's been the DH 69 times. Nice. And then, obviously, you know, he's been.
Whatever it is.
13 starts.
I was just going to say 12 or 13 starts, whatever it was.
So I think it helps to be in the American League. He can play in the field, but I think it's just so much easier to say, hey, you're the DH. And then the one game a week that you pitch, you're also the DH.
Well, and that's
the
thing.
Pitcher. We're now electing to hit the pitcher.
And maybe it's the philosophy of the organization. Because the one part of this that I admit I'm fuzzy on is, why were the Angels willing to let him do this? And then what have they done to help him get to this point where he's done both? Mm-hmm. Like, it can't just be, well, we don't really have a plan for the guy, and when it's your turn, we'll just let you hit around it and figure it out from there. There's going to be something that is much more structured to be able to allow him to do this. And does another team have to embrace that? Would another team not embrace that? Because let's remember, there were 29 teams that told him, no, you can't do both.
Right.
And the one that has, he's now caught fire, And now we've gotten to the point to where it's, okay, how sustainable is this really after he's doing it for a half year? Because we're all flummoxed as to how in the world he's doing it.
Well, and it got off to a bit of a rocky start, too. If you remember, yes, he was Rookie of the Year, but as far as doing both things, he started 10 games as a rookie. Then in 2019, he had an injury where he still hit, but he didn't pitch.
I thought he needed like Tommy John or something. There were rumbling. Did he get Tommy John?
I believe he did right after last year. Because then last year he started two games, didn't pitch well. I think he ended up getting Tommy John and only played in the field DH'd a handful of games. So, and then this year is really the first year that he's been able to do both like the whole time. I mean, 13 starts is a couple of starts off the pace. All right, the guys in the Red Sox have like 17 starts. So he's close to a full season there. I think the goal probably all along was 25 starts. So if a full season in the rotation is 33 starts, all right, you shave a little bit of that down, but you still have him hit as many games as you possibly can.
He did get Tommy John, but he still hit.
Yeah.
Like that's the part that sticks in my head, because every time you hear Tommy John surgery, it's you can't do anything.
No, you're done, but you just can't pitch. Like, all right, but you can. So it is. It's again, like it's bizarre.
He's so bizarre.
But he's made more starts this year already than he has combined in his first 3 years prior to this.
Man.
So there was always the idea of the guy doing both things, and we've seen it. Like, you'd see the highlight of him hitting a home run, throwing 100 miles an hour. You're like, oh, that's what he's doing. But this is the first year that he's really been able to put it all together. So I just wonder, and he's under contract for a couple more years before he can really cash in, but is something going to give? Like, it's a great story now, and I hope he can do this for as long as he can, and I hope, like, we hit on that he inspires other guys to do it. But there's also part of me that says, man, he might just sort of be forced into just hitting or just pitching. Like, Smoltz kept making a point in the broadcast that if he just pitched, he'd be the best pitcher in the game. But if he's also leading the league in home runs, you can't have him just pitch.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, what do you do with the guy if he's got to pick one?
I think this year is the example of what you do. He DHs almost every game, and then maybe you start him close to every fifth day. Maybe you give him a day here and there, see how he's doing, see if he's burnt out. And then limit the pitch. Like, the game he pitched against the Red Sox, I think, was the deepest he went into a game all season.
7 innings, I think, right?
Yeah. So, all right, if he's going 5 or 6, okay. All right.
How many at-bats does he have? I know you have the numbers up there. And the reason I ask is because
301.
All right, so he's 301 at-bats right now. He doesn't have a ton of walks, does he? I'm assuming that
he has walked 38 times.
Well, okay. That's
good eye on him.
A little more than I thought. So you're talking about almost 350 at-bats now.
Right. His career high in 2019, his second year in the league, he played 106 games and had 384 at-bats. So he's closing in on career highs.
On career highs everywhere.
Closing in, yeah. So, already in home runs.
So that's a thing. Like, could you have Ohtani as a 30-start pitcher but only platoon him, say, as the DH, and then he's a guy who becomes, when he doesn't play, he's a guy that you can bring off the bench, let's say. I'm wondering if there's a, like, you got to lean towards one.
Yeah, because you want to save him, but I mean,
And it feels like the pitcher would have more value than the hitter. I mean, if a guy like Smoltz thinks he can be a top of the, like a number one starter in a rotation a team, that's pretty amazing. And if you can get some at-bats out of, I mean, think if this guy played at Fenway, right? And he gave him 30 starts, but at the end of the year, he was like, say he had 300 at-bats by the end of the year.
Right.
He'd still probably hit 20 bombs for you, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would, but I'd want him out there more. I kind of like what they're doing this year, and then you see how his health is at the end of the year. You know you're not going to be in the playoffs, so you don't have to worry about extra games on top of it. You just play the rest of these games out, see where he finishes. I mean, he could have a sub-4 ERA and hit 50 home runs.
And doing this in Japan is not like doing it here.
No. The level of competition.
The level, and that's the thing. I think that's a part of what gasses the guy is the level of competition, how hard he's got to work to be able to get people out. But this is also something baseball really needs.
It's
because
great. Yeah.
We got the juniors that we talked about in Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Fernando Tatis Jr. But this guy allows us to have conversations that we can't have around anybody else.
No, I think in that regard, I think the game is in a good spot, because even though these guys are kind of young, we have one guy going for the Triple Crown, you have one guy going for 40-40, and you have one guy that is going to maybe lead the league in home runs and be an all-star pitcher. Like, those three guys, great, 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 great for the game. My one concern would be Otani's definitely going to miss the playoffs. Guerrero's probably going to miss the playoffs.
Right.
And let's see what Tatis and the Padres. Hopefully they don't get hurt, and hopefully they get in. So at least we get a playoff series with one of the stars of the game.
Who would have thought that the Padres signing Manny Machado to like a $325 million deal or whatever it was, and Tatis would emerge as the big star?
Right.
And maybe we're just a little jaded in part because we've seen Machado kind of grow up because he started that career in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, Tatis is clearly the bigger star. Hey, we touched on Rob Manfred a little bit earlier. If we were to take Adam Silver out of it and we were just left with Goodell and Manfred and the idiot Gary Bettman, worst to first, right? So who at 1, 2, and 3?
Man,
we know they all suck.
Because none of them should be the second best commissioner. None of them deserve the mantle,
none
the
of them
silver
deserve
medal
it.
For commissioner.
Where's Don Garber of MLS when you need him? Or
put
whatever
him
whatever crooked ass is running FIFA.
I think I would still put Manfred last. I'd put him dead
last.
So
he's the least despicable of the three commissioners that we would put in the...
Despicables.
Like, USDA Patrick Galbraith.
He's two.
I got him at, Patrick Galbraith?
Yeah, I got Patrick
LPGA Michael Wan.
Three. Our commissioner power rankings right here. Dana White.
The great Dana White.
Oh, man.
Great Dana White.
My friend Vince McMeth. McMahon.
Jay Moynihan.
Put him up there, too.
Jay Moynihan.
All right,
I think he's done, by the way.
He
Jay
might be.
Moynihan.
The great Vince McMahon.
McMeth.
He's 1A.
He's 1A.
Silver, McMahon,
Captain
White.
Of industry
NASCAR,
like me.
Lisa Kennedy.
Sure.
Well, that's the one who isn't drinking now.
Well,
so
all right.
That's the...
I guess... Bettman,
NHL, Gary Bettman.
Bettman, you would think is the worst, but you know what? Around here, we just hate Goodell so much. You can't ignore the fact that he took the best player in football to court over footballs having a little less air in them than they should.
And ignoring the science in the process.
Ignoring all that.
Right.
But just even wanting to push that thing as far as he did is insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Bettman. Gary Bettman wouldn't take Connor McDavid to court because his stick was, like, curved a little bit more.
Right.
He wouldn't do it. And so I guess you have to go Bettman 2, which is crazy.
That means Manfred's 3.
No, I think reluctantly Goodell's 3. Because the sport itself... Like, has he ruined any aspect of the game itself to you? Whereas I feel like Manfred has... We have a tainted World Series under his watch. We have the sticky stuff
sticky
ball is ridiculous.
Era, right?
You know we're in line for missing games coming up. That is going to happen. Hell, even last year, it was an abbreviated season, but it was more abbreviated than it should have been because of the way he handled things. I think, and then now he's getting rid of the 7-inning doubleheaders and the man on second to start extra innings. I think Manfred has negatively impacted his sport more than the other guys have.
So Manfred, top of the list of the
worst
jackasses.
Yeah.
He's the worst. And then it's Bettman?
No, Goodell.
No, Goodell, then Bettman for you.
That's where I would go.
I would flip it. Okay. Only I'd have Goodell 1, then it would be Manfred 2, and then Bettman, because Bettman doesn't seem to have any power to really screw that much up. It's more the business end of things that...
Right.
That people, I think, would quibble with. By the way, the three T's, Twitch, Twitter, and text on the Twitch chat. You can tell us your lineup of awful commissioners. You can also text us 37937 and on Twitter at Gresh Keefe. We'll get to some Patriots tight ends coming up. But first, here is Shime, who loves his tight end.
Major League Baseball. We miss our baseball. This is baseball season right here. Rob Manfred, thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith.
They could have an extremely valuable fart on their hands.
On EEI.
Here's Tannehill to throw for it on fourth and goal, and he's got his man. Jonnu Smith, touchdown was wide open, back of the end zone.
Tannehill, great protection again, over the middle, into the end zone, caught, touchdown, and it's Jonnu Smith.
Tannehill, and it's caught by Smith near the goal line, he's in.
Tannehill on the slant to Jonnu Smith, he's got him, touchdown, Tennessee. Off the play fake, Tannehill rolls to the right, got himself some room, throws.
Well, the two signings that had Patriot fans, I think, the most excited are tight ends Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. And we're now inside 2 weeks before camp gets rolling down at Gillette Stadium. We've looked at the running backs. We looked at the wide receivers. And now the position that really could be the one that sort of takes this offense to the next level is the tight end spot with both Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. And do you see both of those guys the same? Meaning, do you think they're both from different spots on the field, different spots in formation? One seems to be a better blocker than the other. One can line up in the slot. Do you think it really matters the usage of each of these guys, or are they just both going to be productive in different ways?
Yeah, I do think they're both going to be productive. And I just think it allows them to do a lot of the things that they used to want to do. I mean, going all the way back to when Bill first took over 21 years ago, I think they love having two tight ends to be able to do, like, just stay on the field and not be predictable. You don't have the one tight end, like, oh, they're definitely running or they're definitely passing. Like, do a lot of different things. I think also some of those throws that not only were in the offense before, but might be ones that, not that Cam Newton can make a lot of throws, but maybe ones that he's a little bit better suited to would be stuff to the tight end. Again, you know, Greg Olsen, he had a pretty good connection with when he was in Carolina. Couldn't do any of that last year. Asiasi, Keen, Izzo, didn't matter. Couldn't do any of it. Yeah, maybe part of it was Newton, but a lot of it was definitely those guys. And so you have a massive upgrade over two guys who I think are expecting to be a big part of the offense this year.
The fantasy magazines are all over the place, and we will get to what the fantasy folks feel about both Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. And I think the two tight ends, number one, it forces defenses to kind of have to show their hand a little bit. You put two tight ends on the field, you've got to find a way to match up and balance up, so to speak. And, you know, you can go all the way back to when Jeff Fisher was running the Tennessee Titans with Steve McNair at quarterback. That was a big thing. Two tight ends on the field because it makes it easier for the quarterback to read defenses. Now, in 20 years, they've gotten much more complicated. Right. However, the basic principle still applies. And we saw it in the early 2010s with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. And I feel like Hunter Henry has some of those Aaron Hernandez qualities in terms of on the field. Jonnu Smith, much more the inline guy. And are we just going to go back to the early 2010s with a little bit of a twist put on it?
Yeah.
Because now defenses, like, to me, Rich, back then defenses couldn't deal with those two guys in the passing game. Now the defenses have switched and they can deal with guys like that in the passing game much better. But now you can run those defenses over because they got smaller.
Yeah. They have a really good offensive line and running back. So we've already talked about this point. And that makes it easier for those guys too, because now defensively, are we going to try to take away Henry and Smith's ability to, you know, catch passes down the seam, or you know, what are you trying to take away? And then the Patriots always do a great job of kind of countering that. All right, you have a million DBs out there. Fine, we'll run it all over you. Oh, you don't? These guys are pretty athletic. A lot of tight ends in the league now are athletic, but these two guys are. Like, you didn't have it before.
Correct.
You never had a mismatch. That's one way of putting it. You never had a mismatch with Matt Lacoste or Ryan Izzo, or going back 2 years ago, what was left of Ben Watson. Like, none of those guys ever presented a mismatch, where I think now you will a lot. Like, I think Jonnu Smith, I don't think Jonnu Smith has been tapped into yet. I think in Tennessee.
I completely agree with that.
It was so much of Derrick Henry. It was so much of then A.J. Brown and, you know, Tannehill kind of managing the game. And Smith would come up with some touchdowns. But to hear Bill Belichick rave about Jonnu Smith and talk about nobody's better run after the catch and all this other stuff with Jonnu Smith, you're like, really? But it just reminds me of somebody like Wes Welker in the sense that Bill saw something in Welker, loved it, identified it, and we were like, really, that guy? I guess. Like, yeah, he was decent.
Here's 100 catches.
all pro. Like, yeah. All pro. And, like, I honestly expect that out of Jonnu Smith this year. Not the 100 catches, but a go-to guy, and maybe even a guy that leads the team in receptions, maybe leads the team in touchdowns, knocking on the door, leading the team in yards. Like, I think he's going to be the guy that has a massive breakout year.
He has a chance to be a yard-per-catch just star.
Could be.
Now, there'll be other guys with better numbers. There'll be, you know, Travis Kelce is going to put up a ton of yards, but he's going to do it on 90 catches. He's going to catch the ball like a wide receiver. Whereas with Smith, I think it's the whole bang for the buck. So, of course, I got the old fantasy mags out, right?
Yeah.
Right?
What do you got?
Football diehards. I had to go to their cheat sheet
on
how they rank these tight ends. And you have to go all the way to number 14 to find one of the New England tight ends. That would be Jonnu Smith. And then Hunter Henry ranked 17th. And in between them, Rob Gronkowski.
On this list
of football diehards, they go.
I want Jonnu Smith over more than Gronk, more than Hunter Henry. I'm telling you, Jonnu Smith. Now, the problem is, again, people listening to us, you're probably in a league either with all Patriots fans or most Patriots fans.
Yep.
So Smith won't fall as low as he would if you were in another league. Whereas I think nationally, he might be there in 14. I think he'll be a top 8 fantasy tight end for sure. Like a guy that should start every single week.
So I'm looking at Athlon Sports.
Okay.
They have Hunter Henry ranked 12th.
All right, that's still a starter every week.
And Jonnu Smith, 21st.
That's insane.
So they're so down on Jonnu.
Now, again, you could still say, well, you got Cam Newton throwing him the ball. That could be, you know, you look at some of these other guys, the quarterbacks that they have. If you think it's close, you're going
to
side
Henry
with the
12th off of that. That's the conundrum.
Well, I don't know why Smith would be so low.
Right, exactly. I figured they'd be bunched together a little bit more because if Cam's going to be the reason you ding Jonnu Smith, then.
I do think this.
I get the ball to Hunter Henry.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think this year could be a bit of a resurgence for the tight end position because last year, in part because of injury, it was really, really top heavy. If you didn't have Kelce or Waller, it was like, it didn't really matter. But now, Kyle Pitts, I think Hockenson is going to have a monster year. I think there are enough guys. You know, Mark Andrews will probably be fine.
Hockenson's listed as the top 5 pretty much across. And that's the guy that Belichick.
He's the only target in Detroit.
Well, that's the guy they wanted. Because remember, they're going to trade Gronk to Detroit when old Patricia was there. And that would have been the guy they might have ended up with. And it would have worked out.
And then his teammate at Iowa, Noah Fant, if he's healthy ever, he's a good option too. So I think this year there's actually going to be. What do you think, Shyam? Close to 10 tight ends were pretty good.
To be honest with you, I think it's going to be very top heavy again. I think there's going to be five good tight ends. Yeah. And
five's
that's
still
it.
Pretty good. Five
I think it's
two from last year.
I think it's Kelce, Kittle, Waller, Hockenson, and then maybe Pitts and maybe Mark Andrews. Like,
definitely
those are bubble
Pitts.
Guys
Dude,
for
Pitts
me.
Pitts is going to be great.
I hope so. I just hope Atlanta's offense is good enough.
Yeah.
And so, points. I mean, that's the problem.
Their defense is going to be really bad, so you're going to have an opportunity for a lot of points. Yeah. So I think Pitts would probably slide in there as my fifth. But to be honest, after that, it is literally just a crapshoot at receiver. Like, there's some guys that have potential for a lot of upside, like a guy like Adam Troutman in New Orleans, who is their only tight end now, or Jared Cook going to the Chargers. There's a lot of guys going to have opportunities
for
touchdowns.
Tanyan can have a lot of touchdowns again?
Yeah, I think if Aaron Rodgers
that's
there,
the
of
big
course.
Thing, yeah.
But, like, again, it's just I think a lot of these tight ends are set up for good touchdown numbers, but most of them are not going to catch a lot of passes or get a lot of yards.
A lot of it is also quarterback dependent. Like, over the years, Pittsburgh Steelers tight ends have had value because Roethlisberger loves to throw to the tight end in the red zone.
Right.
So, like, you look at – I'm just looking – like, Eric Ebron, right? Didn't he have an 8-touchdown year a couple years ago or something?
Yeah,
like he went to Pittsburgh.
Maybe? I forget.
He did have a good year with the Colts, but so for me,
He had 13 touchdowns with the Colts in 2018.
Wow, was it when he went to Pittsburgh? Did he get
5?
Okay, so it was 5, and I know that. By the way, apparently Roethlisberger is now losing a ton of weight. The word on the street is that he's now getting into his fitness at age 39. And there was one other magazine that I had here, old Lindy's.
Yeah, where's Lindy's got?
Lindy's has Jonnu Smith 14 and Hunter Henry 15.
Here's my bold prediction for the year. Jonnu Smith will be a top 7 fantasy tight end.
Seven's
the number.
That's bold.
I
can get behind top 12, like a starting fantasy tight end.
Dude, he's
going to
have a monster year.
See, I just don't think the yards and the receptions will be there. I think he could have a lot of touchdowns. Like, he could probably lead the Patriots in touchdowns. He should lead the Patriots in touchdowns. Yeah. I just don't know if there's going to be enough yards and receptions to boost him up.
Here's the
list.
Thing about it. The receivers are not that good. We've talked about it before. The receivers aren't good. Another reason why I love the two tight ends is you don't have to play 3 or 4 receivers that much because you have two pass-catching tight ends. I think you're going to lose faith, or Cam's going to lose faith in the receivers, and then it's going to be Smith and Henry all day.
I think we're going to see early on a little bit of what we did last year in terms of the flash. The first 4 weeks, it'll be, all right, we've got to catch up to what New England's doing. Like last year, if you think about it, there was week one where it was kind of running all over the place and, hey, what are we going to be? Nobody had practice time, whatever. You get to week two, you go to Seattle. Cam throws a ton, but when it came down to nut cutting time, they still tried to run the ball in the end zone with him because they didn't trust him. So whether the quarterback change happens or not, I think one of these two tight ends are going to flash early. Then it's going to be, how do we stop that guy? And then we start to get into the chess match that we've always seen in New England in terms of different guys being able to benefit off of the hot start of certain players. But I'm with Scheim on this. I mean, in terms of like the locks at tight end, you know Kelce, Kittle, and Waller are going to put up numbers.
Yeah.
But after that...
But Pitts and Hockenson, I would be thrilled if I had either one of those guys.
I'm with Scheim. Pitts has got a ton of talent, but everybody is going to look to stop that guy. It's going to be, all right, we need to at least be aware.
I think it's going to be a very similar Justin Jefferson situation, too. So, like, if
Pitts, I take that.
Well, no. In regards to, he's going to start really slow. Like, it's going to come off, like, his first game, he might have 3 catches
That's
for
fine.
20 yards. The second game, he might have 2 catches for 50. But then, like, he may explode late in the season.
Yeah, I think
so. The numbers may, over a course of a season, may not look great. But I think in a small sample size, he's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Vikings were also dumb, though, and they put Chad Beebe as the second wide receiver for 3 weeks for no reason other than, like, they didn't want to start a rookie.
Useless.
And I would think Arthur Smith isn't dumb enough to do that.
No, but see, I think there are 5 stud tight ends, and then I would have no problem, like I said, with Jonnu Smith. I think Mark Andrews. I think Noah Fant against an injury type of thing. If Rodgers is back, Robert Tonyan. Like, that's not a bad group.
I think
everybody's only starting
one. I think
one.
There are 3 locks of being in the top 5. After that, up for conjecture as to who 3 and 4 is going to be. That's why I'm with Scheim in that eventually it'll get there, but I don't think this is going to be the year of the tight end. Let's put it that way.
What about Tyler Higbee?
I think he'll be fine. Matt Stafford will throw him a little bit, but there's so many options in LA that there's just too many mouths to feed. I think Darren Waller has a chance to just ascend to the best tight end in football this year just because Oakland lost Nelson Aguilar. They lost a lot of help for Derek Carr. They have 2 running backs and Darren Waller, and then that's about it.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs isn't that great.
No, he's not.
Yeah, the tight ends.
Back and scoot.
The tight ends, it'll be fascinating because the cat's out of the bag now in terms of how talented those guys are. Like, George Kittle ain't sneaking up on anybody anymore.
Oh, God.
That's somebody that you're trying to take out of the game. Joe McDonald, by the way, and I saw that our account, at Gresh Keefe, has retweeted this. Joe McDonald has covered hockey forever at the Worcester Telegram Gazette. He was with the Providence Journal and ESPN Boston, longtime puckhead. He tweeted out about 10 minutes ago, hearing the Bruins and Brandon Carlo have reached a long-term deal. Great move by Don Sweeney. Carlo, a huge part of the Bruins.
He's always hurt.
So it looks like Carlo's coming back.
He is always hurt.
So he will be the new Kevin Miller. Now that Kevin Miller is retired and he was always hurt, now it's going to be Brandon Carlo
gets
the contract and gets into that role.
And it
always
feels like
hurt.
Carlo's usually, when he's missing games, it's usually playoff games too. That's kind of what it feels. But I like Carlo, and I'm sure, based on all of Sweeney's contracts that he signed, I bet it's for nothing. I bet he got a deal out of this.
He's definitely a wizard when it comes to
these guys all
of us missing
deals.
The price point on these guys.
Oh, yeah. I bet it's for nothing.
How in the world does he does it? By the way, speaking of price point, the results are in from UFC 264, and Dustin Poirier is going to take something interesting to auction. Might be a part of the Dork podcast, should you have bought it. That's next.
More Crash and Keith right now on WEEI.
Get a little more detail on the Richard Sherman situation. The burglary domestic violence doesn't mean that he committed domestic violence, is that he tried to break into the home of a family member, apparently, and then fought with the cops whenever they got there, and he was taken to a hospital to be cleared before they threw him in the old pokey, so makes me wonder if he got pepper sprayed or something like that, and you go check him out after an altercation with the popo, which is never good.
No.
Never good. So the situation with Richard Sherman will be something that we'll keep an eye on. So I know you and I, in talking Conor McGregor, we looked at the pay-per-views that the guy moves. And part of the reason why Conor McGregor is so polarizing is people react to him, and he is big box office. And I know that when UFC signed on with ESPN Plus that weekend had 600,000 people sign up for their service to be able to have access to these pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a ton of people out there that have signed up for ESPN Plus because of this. Well, 1.8 million people bought this pay-per-view. It's the second biggest pay-per-view haul in UFC history. And Keith, at $69.99, that is a nice tidy total of,
good Lord,
125.9 million dollars in just pay-per-view revenue. I know I contributed a good $250 to whatever merch number that they did. Because they had almost a $17 million gate, $126 million basically on pay-per-view, and they had to have done another $30 to $40 million in merch. So you realize how big a box office draw Conor McGregor really is. And I know his nemesis Khabib Nurmagomedov said, UFC should be done with him. Nope. Not at $125 million pay-per-view revenue. They're going to roll him and Dustin Poirier out as many times as those two guys would like to fight.
Yeah, he's in a class of his own. I believe it is 8 of the 10
yes.
most bought pay-per-views in the UFC were headlined by Conor McGregor. And one of the other ones was UFC 100, which was like a stacked card. It was also
it was like a super card.
It was the 101.
Meant a lot, yeah.
It was like Brock Lesnar, Frank Mir. It was Dan Henderson versus Michael Bisping. It was like George St. Pierre. John Jones was actually on the undercard. Like, it was loaded, and they were trying to make it a big deal. And even still, McGregor, Khabib was higher. McGregor, Cerrone, McGregor, Diaz, McGregor, Diaz 2, both 2 and 3 of the Poirier, all of them better than that.
And so the second biggest boxing pay-per-view ever after Mayweather-Pacquiao was Mayweather-McGregor. Mayweather-Pacquiao did 4.6 million pay-per-views, mm-hmm. and Mayweather-McGregor did 4.3, I do believe, when it was all said and done.
And one of the other really popular ones, by the way, I believe, was UFC 251, which uh-huh. was July of last year. So I feel like that might have had something to do with, like, okay, there's something to watch, maybe?
Or there's
like,
there was no
some,
doubt.
There was some sort of appeal to that. You had good fighters, don't get me wrong, but again, it's McGregor. McGregor's the one that just prints money for the UFC.
He really does. And I know Jake Paul, in razzing Conor McGregor, had a custom chain made with the likeness of McGregor. And he dubbed the chain Sleepy McGregor,
right,
that Dustin Poirier is now going to accept as a gift from Jake Paul. However, only to then turn around and auction it off for his foundation for feeding the homeless down in New Orleans. And remember, there was the tete-a-tete between the two fighters about whether Conor McGregor was going to make the donation that he, I think it was like a half mil that he said he was going to Poirier's foundation. And instead, McGregor's like, I can cut you a check for $2 million once we fight again. Let's keep needling each other and find a way to push another $1.5 million buys on pay-per-view. So good for Dustin Poirier. At least Dustin Poirier is taking it all in stride and is still trying to do good things through his foundation. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I wonder if Khabib, if Poirier wins the title, I'm wondering if Khabib says he's a man of honor. I'm going to come out of retirement and fight him. Plus, if Khabib and Poirier do a bigger number than Poirier and McGregor,
there's no chance.
There's no chance. Khabib is the only guy who would have a chance to get into that stratosphere only because of worldwide, and he's gone out on top.
Yeah,
like no one has touched him. So if you bring him back, you put him in against McGregor, it'll do some buys, but I don't think it'll be huge.
But what was
you
put him in against?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure that I would love to see him say to Khabib, "You know, you're bad for the UFC because your main language is Russian," and see how quickly. I mean, that guy swims upstream in 40 degree water. It's like
I did not say that.
He's like the dude in The Sopranos, Khabib. Yeah. He's like the. Do you remember when they went to Pine Barrens and the Russian guy?
I washed my balls in water cooler than this.
That's like Khabib, man. The guy is
tough.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.